the density of area developments and ensuring that sufficient safeguards are in place. We must take every effort to restrict deforestation, retain or expand forested buffers, and limit impervious surfaces and runoff to minimize further deterioration. Rejecting this high-density development is one stop to improving the health of our waterways. Finally, the stress to emergency medical services continues to increase in Sussex County, as indicated by the rapid rise in EMS incidents dispatched and 911 calls made by area residents. With higher level of population, stress on all of our services for police, EMS, and fire will increase. We should not further add to that stress by allowing developments above current zoning limits. In summary, you can cheer now. Given the overwhelming concerns presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission with this application, we urge you to deny the rezoning request for Belterre, which would allow a higher level of density than currently allowed under AR1. This zoning change and urban style density are inconsistent with the character of area, communities, and farmland. The proposed density levels exceed communities now in existence or approved, as well as the maximum allowance of 2.17 houses per acre for AR1. In addition, almost 50 acres of this land is deemed worthy of protection according to state environmental maps. For all the reasons noted in my comments, I request that the Commission deny this application as submitted. Thank you for consideration, presenting on behalf of Bill Bedell.
Thank you.
Just for the record, please, you indicated that you spoke on behalf of this individual and that he was the president of an HOA. Was he speaking for the whole HOA or himself individually?
He was speaking for himself individually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I just have one other quick comment on for myself. Regarding the traffic and ability for county council to help the situation. I know you mentioned it's a DLDOT issue, but the TID process that has been underway since 2014, I just urge the county council to proceed as quickly as possible on that to help the future development activity. Having a 20-year outlook, circle a big area, and get started on that and use the resources that the state is offering. We really appreciate that information. It might help a lot versus these current TIS reports.
Thank you. Next speaker.
My name is Vince Kane. I live with my wife at 23523 Holly Circle in Lewis, Delaware. That's in the woods on Herring Creek, which is about 6 miles from the Belterre project. We have beautiful beaches in Sussex County, something that Kent County and Newcastle County don't have. That's the main reason my wife and I moved into the woods on Herring Creek in Sussex County about 15 years ago. And why so many others have moved into Lower Sussex County and continue to move here. Developers also flock to this area because it's cheaper to develop land in Sussex County than in Kent County or Newcastle County or in Maryland. Impact fees are much less here than in those counties. Also, Sussex County has the least restrictive zoning on the Delmarva Peninsula at 2 units per acre. Yet the Belterre project is proposing a higher density in some of the areas it plans to develop. My wife and I, in letters addressed to the County Council in October 2015 and March 2016, opposed higher density housing. In those letters, we pointed out what high-density housing has done to traffic in the area. The Plantation Road and Warrington Road corridor is very backed up at times, even in the off-season. In the summer season, this corridor, which flows onto Airport Road, is backed up in both directions with traffic moving very slowly. Route 1 is very backed up to the point of gridlock on weekends during the summer season. And further, the Beltair project will be near the new Delaware State Police Barracks and the new Cape Henlopen Elementary School. The current Sussex County Comprehensive Land Program is going on 10 years old and has not been much followed. High density continues to be approved. If Sussex County would implement a fee structure that would fund wider roads, turn lanes, bus facilities, we'd be much better off. Further, Sussex County needs to implement impact fees that look beyond the roads entering new communities. Roads and intersections in the surrounding area have to be considered too. When we first moved here, I would drive down Mulberry Knoll Road to enjoy the water and wetlands there. Boats were moored there. It was and is a beautiful spot. The area is clearly an environmental sensitive one. My wife and I object to the high density Beltair development. Thank you.
Thank you. And does anyone else like to speak? I see a lady in the back there.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Don't be shy. Get up.
Yes. If you just kind of line up here.
Trust me, I'm not shy.
Got to be
okay.
Quick,
you got it. All right.
No, I mean, I'm just to get up there.
Yes.
My name is Buzz Klopp. I live in Briarwood. In fact, my wife and I built the first house in that community 25 years ago. Our backyard, half of it, extends halfway across Hetty Fisher Pond, which I've heard talked about here several times this afternoon. Well, I've lived in Sussex County since 1972. And to say that it's not the same Sussex County I came to in 1972 is, pardon my French, one hell of an understatement. There's been some good, and there's been some bad. And I think something that hasn't been said here is that Briarwood community itself, which consists of about 65, 70 houses, wouldn't be there today if part of the Dorman farm hadn't been sold 28 years ago. And I think if you asked the individual who's trying to sell the property, and I'm not going to put any words in his mouth, and I have no axe to grind here, I'm not related, we are friends, we've done some things over the years, but I think he'd tell you that if he could live the lifestyle that he's lived all of his life, he wouldn't be selling this farm. So there's good and there's bad with development. Are there traffic issues? Sure, I don't need to tell you all the traffic issues. Are they as bad as some people have said they are? There's different opinions. I'm not so sure they are. But regardless of that, I think there's a fundamental fact here of someone who wants to sell, move on, not really what, doesn't really want to move on, but has invested his life and his family's life in a property, and he can no longer do some of the things that he's used to doing on this property. You know, that shouldn't even be an issue. And when you start looking at development, in my humble opinion, your issue here is not whether you approve or disapprove this development. Your issue here is to get with the state of Delaware, develop some kind of a program with some continuity to see the growth that's happening. When I listen to the people, and I've listened to the talks here, and I'm representing only me, not Briarwood, only myself, but when I listen to the people talk about how bad it is here, I wonder, why the hell are people moving here? They're moving here because number one is, and I haven't heard this said all day, But compare the taxes in Sussex County and the state of Delaware to Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York. That's a good reason why they're moving here. And I'll say this, because I don't like paying taxes. I don't mind paying taxes. I don't want to pay any more than I need to pay. But if you need to raise taxes, to do things to infrastructure, to roads, to preserving the environment, for God's sake, get the gumption and do it. Because otherwise you're living with these kinds of discussions day in, day out. I don't have to tell you all that, because y'all are sitting in here listening to this crap. And so your challenge, in my opinion, is to do some long-term thinking on a tax base, on a real program for living in Sussex County. Because it's not going back to the way I had it in 1972. And I don't want it to go back to the way it was in 1972. But that's my challenge to you. And also, I'm going to close with this, is remember that this whole process with this development is happening because a man and his family cannot live the lifestyle that they've been living their whole lives. And why is that? Because the people are here. That's why. So there's good and there's bad. And for God's sake, stop the short-term thinking and do some things that take some gumption, and you might even get some criticism for it. But please, get them done. Thank you.
There was a lady in the back that had indicated she was planning to speak.
What?
Okay.
No,
go ahead.
You have
sign buzz. Come on up.
My name's Kit Zack, and I'm going to try to say something that hasn't been said yet. And I also have some letters from about 10 people who couldn't attend, and what I'm going to do is take one sentence from each letter because you've been here a long time. You're very patient, and I wouldn't ask you to endure too much more. But the one thing I did want to do was to address the council members individually. I wanted to thank Joan Deaver because she's been out in front all along looking at the development issues and having some foresight about it. I want to thank George Cole for making a very important statement, which is we now have a responsibility to take care of the people who are here. And I believe that's a very deep moral responsibility. I want to thank Sam Wilson for traveling over into Eastern Sussex and seeing what it's like over here, because, and it only gets worse during the summer. I want to thank Michael Vincent for being chair of this committee, and also I'm grateful to the people for the RV, for the vote on the RV park, because I believe that we have to protect our environment. And finally, to Mr. Arlette, I would like to invite you to make a date to come with me and drive around Eastern Sussex, Route 9 and Route 24, so you can see firsthand what we're dealing with if you're unfamiliar with the problem.
For the record, I'm very familiar. I live in the East. I work in the East. I'm all over the East.
Okay, all right.
District 5 is both West and East, but for the record, I'm very familiar.
He avoids it every chance he gets.
Okay, all right.
And that's not a true statement either, but in any event.
Okay.
Continue.
I avoid it.
I do want to say that, of course, we are citizens who can't hire expensive lawyers. I certainly respect the Dorman's right to sell their property, to sell their farm. We live on what was once their land, but I think keeping the current designation of AR1 will allow them to live comfortably. I want to just ask a few questions. Why is it in my previous state of residence in Maryland, homeowners are protected from rogue developers by requirements placed on them? Why is it that in Kent and Newcastle County, there are adequate public facilities? There's something called an adequate public facilities ordinance that's needed to ensure that public services are guaranteed or completed before development can be approved. And the quality green space is planned for. And why is it that we now find our county in the predicament that there's no land to build another east-west corridor? I won't repeat some of the things that have been said, but regarding the safety issue, I want to talk about, we were designated to get hit by Sandy a couple years ago. We didn't. It's a damn good thing. How are we going to survive a coastal storm if there's a big evacuation? I routinely am called to evacuate when there's a coastal storm and high tides. And I'm wondering, I think if the council has to consider that and consider that very carefully when you think about allowing for mid-urban density or whatever that means. You have to think about how are we going to get the people out of here who live here. And now I just want to sum up my own statement is that I hope we haven't killed the goose that laid the golden egg, and we pay paradise and put up development after development after development. And I just will read a sentence or two from each of these letters of people who couldn't come today. This is a letter that was submitted by my next door neighbor, my neighbor across the street who's raising a little boy who's six. And she's really concerned because he has to ride the school bus every day, and now there'll be even more school buses on our roads on 24. And she wants to know that he's going to be safe on our roads, and also that when he's a teenager, that there'll be safety. And I'm not going to repeat her other requests because you've heard them. There was a letter written to Sam Wilson in particular, and this person said, and the person wrote to you because she said, and while many will write about traffic, I merely want to ask you, should we plan to have our heart attack, stroke, or asthma attack at 3 a.m.? When an ambulance might have the chance to get here. She is aware that you were ill and you recovered. She signs this letter, Bob and Dora Sasko, and they are going to have to move out of the area because they're too elderly now to be able to survive in the development. They're going to go into some kind of home. One other comment, and this one is from Cindy and Nancy Sade, and they're... just one sentence from this. One can only imagine how many forms of life could be impacted by destroying 37 acres of forest, as well as all the living organisms impacted by future pollution of the adjacent marsh and waterway. Let's care about our creatures, basically. That's the point of that letter. Finally, a letter by someone who moved into our development from New Jersey. And the sum and substance of this letter is, please don't turn it into Jersey South. It looks like it's happening. And she said, but at least in Jersey South, we have turnouts. and one other one from a woman who's 85, taking care of her ill husband. We don't want to die for waiting for an ambulance to reach us. When we pay our taxes, we expect to receive services. So basically, I don't want to repeat anything. So that's it. Thank you. I'll sign in. I have a wonderful article from the Cape Gazette on the environmental situation, the issue. Also, there was an article in Beach Life about the traffic issue here and how it's just gone nuts. So I will hand these over and sign in. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? Hold applause, please. We read rules at the beginning. We asked people to hold applause. Other comments?
I will be very brief.
At this time of day, we love you for that.
My name is Dale Kerr. I live at Three Woods Road in Briarwood. And there is only one way in and one way out. We do not share an entrance with Hart's Landing, just to make that clear. The other thing is, if you have lived in Sussex County for a while, which my husband and I have, you cannot find another doctor. I don't care how close you think the doctor is to your home. You cannot find a doctor because most of them are not taking new patients. So I tried, my physician moved to Milford with his practice, and I would like to keep my physician close to my home. So I tried to find a new physician, and I went to Mid-Atlantic, who is across from Briarwood. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Not taking new patients here, I would have had to go to Millsboro. which is quite a ways away. So just to clarify, we may have medical close to us, but try and get in. So everything else we have pretty much covered. The only other thing I would address is if we do have a catastrophic storm, I am very concerned that we will have flooding. Our groundwater will contaminate our drinking water, and I don't want to see that happen. And coming from the Chicago area, I can tell you about traffic. We don't have it here.
You're on Wells, right?
Okay. Pardon me?
You're on Wells?
We are on Tidewater, but Tidewater still deals with Wells, mm-hmm. even though they are cleansed and all of that. So.
Okay, thank you. I see one person in the back there.
Hi, my name is James Schneider. I live at 20601 Annandale Drive in Lewis, which is in Hart's Landing. And I also come out of my street onto Route 24. And it's becoming increasingly dangerous to come out of 24 onto 24 because of all the traffic on that road. I'm not against development in the area. However, I am against this zoning change application from AR1 to MR. RPC medium density residential plan community that the developer has proposed. I spoke at planning and zoning, and to save some time, I'm not going to reread everything I talked to about there, but I did talk about my concerns for the traffic and the safety on the traffic. I do ask the county council to work with DLDOT and planning and zoning in coming up with a comprehensive plan on how to be able to improve the roads so people like Mr. Dorman can sell their property and have proper development. We're getting to the point where, you know, Nancy talked about it and Bill Zach talked about it, about the gridlock that is starting to occur. And coming this weekend, if you drive around, come down 24, try to get onto Warrington Road, try to go onto Old Landing, onto 1, and then back up to Beaver Dam Road, you'll see the gridlock that's going to occur. Now, granted, it's going to be a holiday weekend, and gridlock on holiday weekends you almost expect. But with all the developments that have been planned and approved, we're going to get it to a point where that's going to be a normal, everyday experience. And, you know, we also talked about killing the goose that laid the golden egg. I moved here because this was a golden egg, and I don't want to see it killed. So I would appreciate if the council does not allow for overdevelopment and the upzoning to allow higher amounts of housing in this area. Thank you.
Thank you. There was a gentleman in the back that was standing.
Hi, my name is Steve Britz. My wife and I live at 212 Waterford Drive in Webb's Landing. I wrote an extensive letter that I delivered to Planning and Zoning and with some exhibits, and I won't go over all of that. But I do want to reiterate some of what I feel are the important issues. First of all, with Hetty Fisher Glade, we do have an impairment problem. In 2014, I traveled by kayak up Hetty Fisher Glade, a little past the area where they're proposing to put in a kayak dock. And on half a dozen occasions in 2014, I collected water samples for analysis of bacteria and also for nitrate nitrogen. The average bacteria concentration was greater than 1,000 colonies per 100 milliliters. That's 10 times what's considered by the EPA as the safe swimming standard for a freshwater body. So, and this is, of course, using the Enterococcus test. We don't know where the Enterococcus is coming from, whether it's coming from waterfowl or if it's coming from derelict cesspools or something like that, but it's certainly indicative of fecal contamination in the area. The nitrogen levels were 6.8 milligrams per liter, which is approximately 50-fold the level that's recommended if we want to reestablish the eelgrass population in the inland bays, which of course is important for fish breeding and crabs and all the wildlife that people want to try and catch and eat in the inland bays. So we need to make a decision as a community. Do we want inland bays that are safe for swimming and for water sports? And do we want to be able to have fish and crabs and clams that we can catch and that we can eat? Because if we do, we have to make some changes in how we handle land development in the area. Now, I know our current governor suggests that we should all maybe pay some more taxes, and I won't get into the tax issue, but I think as a first goal, if you find yourself at the bottom of a hole and you want to get out, the first thing you should do is stop digging. And one of the initial approaches that you should look to in trying to at least retain water quality, if not improve it, is to have the widest possible riparian buffers along waterways. And so in that regard, I was very disturbed to see with the Belterre project that the percentage of forest was going to be reduced from 43% down to less than 14%. And I looked at the plan and I counted approximately 130 lots that would be either completely or at least substantially deforested in order to put in home developments. And many of these were along the boundary with Hetty Fisher Glade, and there are also some interior lots as well. Now, I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but that 130 lots at the time when we were talking about 378 as a total number of units, that's just about the difference between what you could put in as a AR1 allowed zoning and what they're requesting on the MRRCP. This brings us now to the topic of water table, and I wanted to respond to some of the comments that were made by Mr. Lene. First of all, as of yesterday afternoon, the table of data that was referred to with the bore sites and presumably when they were done and where on the property they were done, that was not available at planning and zoning. So that puts us, the citizens, at a severe disadvantage to understand the situation, you know, sort of the boots on the ground approach. So we're forced to use model data and things like that. And also, when Mr. Lene says that it's 7 feet down to the water table, that, in fact, is a number that comes from the USDA NRCS data as a number that's typical for the downer sandy loam soils, which, in fact, are generally well-drained, and large parts of this site, indeed, appear to be, you know, well-drained. But as you go closer to the glade, the water table is going to creep up. You know, we don't know what the actual numbers on that are, but the Delaware Geological Survey has done some modeling. Now, their model assumes that the water table comes to the surface at the shoreline of a stream or river or Hetty Fisher Glade, for example, and that as you migrate away from that shoreline, then you have to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, and then they calculate these numbers for all of Delaware, actually, based on data that comes from monitoring wells that they maintain around the state. And they check them at different intervals and collect data that corresponds to dry periods, wet periods, normal periods, and things like that. So under wet conditions, what I was able to discern by overlaying the grid of the development on top of this map of depth to water field is that a substantial number of these lots that would be placed in areas where that would be deforested, the water table comes up maybe 3 feet below the surface under wet conditions. So I'm sorry, less than 3 feet below the surface under wet conditions. Now that of course would be the circumstances that would pertain to managing stormwater under wet, rainy conditions. So I'm not so sure that we don't have a problem. I can't say, having not been able to look at the data, but I can't say what the situation is. It seems to me that there's at least enough of a question that this needs to be looked at in much greater detail. Also, there were some other specific areas. Now, lots 128 to 42 in Belterre under the old plan correspond to a small area that is a topographic depression, where the lowest area is somewhat less than 12 feet above mean high water, and it rises along the periphery up maybe to 17, 18 feet above mid-high water.
Could you point that out on the map where they are located?
Kind of like a gully?
Well, you can use the monitor. That's okay.
Well, that's right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, the Delaware Geological Survey has that mapped as a wetland. Mr. Lanay was unable to verify, in fact, that that was a wetland. However, it is worth stating that the basis for assigning this as a wetland was based on aerial infrared photography that was done in 2007. Now, infrared photography will identify wet areas because water absorbs infrared radiation more than the surrounding land. So at least at one point in the recent history, that area was wet. And this was analyzed by a group at Virginia Tech, who then the data is now being managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And it's about 0.8 acres, and it's referred to as being a palustrine, forested, seasonally saturated wetland. So it will be dry sometimes, but it may be wet at other times. I, again, looking at something like that, I'd say I wouldn't want to have a house in a gully that could flood. Maybe this would be a good place for a soil water management pond. But so I have serious questions about a lot of the lots that are laid out in this in this development as to whether they're really suitable for homes. So in conclusion, I would just like to say that I think there's a large area here that's cleared, was farmland that would be perfectly suitable for development, but I really do feel that we would be well advised to try and retain as much forested land as possible and look more closely at the specific topography of the land and whether it's really suitable. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else that desires to speak in opposition?
Do you want to speak, sir?
I will.
You don't have to.
Yeah, we're not trying to make you.
I just thought you got up because you want to speak.
It's going to take about 2 hours.
Love to hear from you.
If you're buying dinner. And we waited all day for you.
I have a couple of points to make. My name is Ron LaPera from the retreat at Love Creek, and I heard a lot of very good information being presented from the opponents to this development, and I myself disagree with the way they want to develop this land. Just a little contrast, if you will. My wife and I have lived here a short time, if you will, 10 years, and when we initially moved here, you know, we noticed that the traffic and everything was very, very light.
You must have moved in when Rob moved in.
Oh, was that right? Yeah. Anyway, it was interesting to note the changes that have taken place in just 10 years. Would go out sometimes shopping in a parking lot such as Super Fresh. You might notice in the wintertime there might be a few cars, 3 or 4 cars there. But now if you go shopping at that time, you run to the store, that parking lot is loaded. So the contrast of what we had 10 years ago and that what we have now as far as the populace is concerned, it's grown tremendously. And a lot of these people that are coming here are here year-round. Not all of them, but many of them. So hopefully the committee here will take into consideration all of the negatives that this proposal brings forth, and think about the future of this area. Think about why people moved here initially. We moved here with the idea that, yes, you have certain zoning, and that would be respected, and hopefully the committee will be able to do that. And last but not least, we have known, we know several people that have moved out of the area, some to other parts of Delaware, some out of state because of the development that's going on here, the traffic that is horrendous. And I have to be honest, my wife and I have spoken about it as well, unfortunately. It's a beautiful area. I don't think there's going to be much going back if things are left let to go much more out of control than they have at this point in time. So you committee members have an important job to do. And I know I've been on committees before. I know it's very difficult. Hopefully you'll make the right decision. And I applaud you for your work and effort.
By the way, where did you move from?
New York.
That's probably where you're going to stay.
I'm sorry?
That's probably why you're going to stay.
He thinks you'll change your mind and you won't leave.
Yeah. Anybody been to New York would never leave.
Connecticut first, and then New York.
Would never leave this place. Go to New York, I can tell you that.
No, this is a beautiful place here. This is a wonderful place. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll keep it that way. Yeah. You know? But that's it. There's no 2 hours. Just a couple of comments that other people didn't make. I don't want to be redundant. So I'll leave it at that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing in this matter.
We'll close public hearing, and I guess we do leave. Do you leave the public record open, Mr. Moore?
I believe.
A question from somebody?
Yes. I want to hear from the school, what the school had to say.
Correct.
About the parking.
As I mentioned earlier, I wanted to make sure that we heard from the school district.
Okay.
And also, I would like to add, receive some comment regarding the Delaware City Police because of the road. They're right next door, and I think I would like to have some input from them personally because, this community, the walkway is going to be going out to that road that goes between Delaware City Police and that middle school, elementary school, excuse me.
So you're referring to the extent that there's a tie-in between the school and the state police, and that would be the potential path with the children?
Correct. That's part of the testimony, and for that reason, I would like to hear any input, if they have any, from them.
Okay. We've got two things in.
I don't know if this is something that we can do or can't do, but I'm very concerned about the wetlands and about the the drainage, and I need a little time. Anyway, can we get more information on this, more of these drawings, or is that going to be strictly up to the how low the land lies, and how wet it is, and that type of thing, and how much wood. I'm just concerned about the way it's proposed to be done.
Well, I believe a lot of the information may have been in our packet and given and presented, but also at such time, if there was an approval given, there would be appropriate state agencies that they would have to go through, either DENREC, Soil Conservation. DENREC would be in charge of the wetlands issues, and the federal, if there were any.
I just want to know. Yeah. What it's going to be, but we're not in a position to hold back for that. Is that right?
Well, typically, all the final work is done as part of the site plan, mm-hmm. because they would have to approve where the wetlands were, what the setbacks would be, get the final numbers. I believe, based on testimony, there was some preliminary information that was obtained at this time, and that was presented.
Well, we have preliminary
And that's really all we have going on,
right.
What you're saying?
There, part of any approval would be that they would have to comply with any of the agencies, state and federal agencies, which would be Denver.
Not their recommendations, but only their regulations.
Right.
Unless we
in our past, I'm sorry, but some of the things we've done in the past, I don't have much faith in that. I'd like to know more about it. But, you know, I'm just a councilwoman. Maybe maybe that's improper, but that's my concern.
I mean, if you have a specific question, yeah, it's only
right.
Well, I wish I could even give you the question, but I don't know enough about the environment. I'm hearing some problems where a forest is being torn down, and there's wetlands and homes possibly being built in a you know, like a gully. And I mean, that's a very low lying area. And our local paper has recommended no, and I'm concerned about that. And you know, it should be preserved. And so I'm facing those things. Is there any way that I can get more information on this?
Why don't we suggest, Everett, that the Department of Natural Resources send us a summary of any recommendations they would have for this project, if and that would help her with things that they can't do but we could do, possibly.
Really,
so that's a thought that, you know, where there's some areas they see of concern. And I've got another question I'd like to ask, if the council sees fit to just have the staff or planner, and why don't you come up and see if you can do this,
mm-hmm.
if it's something within our capabilities. And years ago, we actually put the onus on maybe sometimes on the developers to do this, but we've heard about the people aren't so concerned about, this is the opposition, that about the current zoning. It's the up zoning and all the things it causes. Is it possible for you to do a conceptual layout of a AR1 subdivision or RPC, just to show us the difference in size and different impacts, and just, I don't know if we can computer generate with one of our machines, taking that information?
I do not have that ability. I am not an engineer.
Okay.
Or
well, I don't need all the engineering.
Out.
I mean, just a.
I understand.
Minimum lot size, number of lots, and just see if you could put them all on this.
But your answer is no, is that correct?
I don't have that ability. We could ask
the
applicant if they could provide that.
So we don't know.
Okay, we could put. Okay, in the past we did. Haven't we done that in the past? Years ago, we would. Over the years, we've asked to show us
the developer to provide
mm-hmm.
a conceptual plan of what the existing zoning would provide. We've
right,
asked
right,
that.
Right.
And that is a requirement. For
and
they
probably have it on their CAD system. Something they could do probably pretty
for
simple, right?
Okay.
Everett, I wouldn't mind requesting so that then the council could see. And I don't need responses from everybody else. But if that could be provided to us, then we could see the impact of the AR1 zoning versus the MR-RPC zoning.
Okay. We also
that would be a request.
I'd like to also see
Mr. Cole?
See it AR1.
Yes, Mr.
Mrs. Devers.
I'd like to see it. I'd also like to see what it could look like with a subdivision with clusters. Because
well,
we do
similar, same
yes,
thing. I mean, it'll just
know,
show
just trying, I'm trying to picture that as opposed to what's being proposed. I mean, I need information, like Mr. Cole says.
Well, yes, one thing I would like to address too, because I see some of the people leaving. We have recently, after public hearings, been seeing just a tremendous amount of mail that's been sent in to mm-hmm. council persons, and it's been my instruction that mail, because the public hearing is closed,
mm-hmm.
that mail not be read, not be considered in your vote. So I'm announcing that publicly so everyone knows it does not help to go out on a mail writing campaign after the public hearing is closed. That is not to be considered. The decision is to be made based upon what was testified to today, what was introduced into evidence, and to the extent the council keeps the record open for specific things.
Yes, but they do have free speech rights if they want to contact folks, somebody about it, you know, come on, yeah. But it's not going to be brought into our decision.
It cannot be brought into your decision.
You can't use the
information
you receive.
That's right.
They have
right.
Thank you. Just one comment or clarification, because Councilwoman Deaver just made the statement that this was low-lying land. So We cannot ask them to come back up here, but I'm going to lean over to our director over there. And for the record, that's already been provided. What is the elevation of the property? Do you have that handy? If I recall, 15 feet to 20 some odd feet.
He said 32 feet down
to 20. But I just wanted to re-clarify the statement that was made based on...
Well, the glade is not elevated.
Right, there's a high point and there's low point.
A lot of wetlands.
So, I mean, it's right. All early. And they've used the whole site. So.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, just...
It can be as high as such and such, and it can be low as the wetlands, like it's flood elevation. So it's here to there. I don't know what that tells us, but...
While he's looking at that, I know you had someone present all about the hydrology and the whatever else you did. Did you present that to us in our record?
I presented you the USGS information from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Soil Survey, and then from that soil survey, there's a description of the soil types.
Right.
So I made a table to say what the soil types were and what the depth to seasonal high were.
And we've got that.
You've got that.
Okay, thank you.
I believe you said 32 feet. I'm not sure.
Yes.
There's also a soil study that was done. Okay. I don't think it's been submitted. We can submit that. I think answers some of the questions about water table and those items.
We've had some experiences and leads me to want more information.
And again, there's going to be time for you to review that.
Okay. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So we will submit that.
Okay. And again,
I got a high of 19 or 21 and a low of 2 and 3. So let's look at the 2 and 3. That's spacious.
Okay.
But that's right at the water's edge.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else from council?
Yeah, I didn't hear the comment. I didn't hear the answer.
High of 21, low of 2 or 3. Elevations on these surveys, I've seen a low of 2 and 3 at the water, near the water's edge. And I've seen I've seen an area that's 20, 21. And it slopes down to the water, basically. Mm-hmm. And then it's high. And mid site, there's about 15 feet typical.
So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's just looking at elevations that are noted.
That's all. We're going to leave the public record open to get a response, I guess, Mr. Lang would inquire about these, about the how the new Troop 7 envisions are going to use the road that ties in back by the school. Mr. Arnett, is that correct?
Yes.
We want to hear something from the school district about that school and children walking there or their vision on that.
And that back entrance also to, they have a back entrance in their proposed yard, the school does. And we're talking about children coming in through that back entrance, which may be something that's not being observed by the school. I don't know if they're going to want children walking in through the back.
Let the school district decide.
I want to know.
I know.
Yeah, I know. We'll ask for a copy of your soil study. And I'll let Mr. Cole ask about a layout of what that land would look like with just AR zoning? I guess that's something.
The simple answer to that is if it's AR, as you know, the density is 2.1 units of the acre, so you'd have the 250 lots, 260 lots, something of that nature.
Just put 250 lots on that site, and just so that the council can see the difference. And I heard that over and over from the opposition, and I think it's important to get a visual for the council to understand the difference of the upzoning. That's all.
Any time frame on
this? I don't care.
Yeah. What do you think is reasonable time from your perspective on your side to get that done?
2 weeks.
Okay.
Well, we won't. 3 weeks. We won't be back for.
We're golfer. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all. So,
that's fine.
You're going to be waiting for the plan.
Just say 30 days.
Okay.
So those are the four things that we're going to hold record open for. Other than that, everything else is closed.
And we don't.
Could you just repeat that? State police, school.
State police, school, soil study, and what it would look like with AR1 zoning.
All right.
Yeah, and I know that county it kind of likes the 50-foot setback from saltwater, but we don't specify what should be there, and it's too bad that we don't have the advice of DENREC, but I'm just hearing from testimony that the trees are best. I don't know. is that something that I could find out about, or I mean, is that something?
We heard the testimony.
Yeah, I heard it.
Well, what we need to do is you can try to get as a condition that we preserve more trees later on at the end of this whole process.
I heard that their opinion was trees were the best.
And yes, and their opinion probably won't change.
I'm not too sure.
But Denrex?
Okay, we will. The public record is open for those four items. Obviously, P&Z did not make a recommendation, so we will entertain a motion to defer on conditional or change the zone 1800.
So moved, Mr. President.
Second.
With those reasons, we're asking.
We're going to defer and leave public record open for those four items we listed a while ago. Question on that motion?
Yeah.
Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arnett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
We have a motion carried. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'm still waiting for my comment.
Thank you, John.
I'm sorry. Well, hold up. Well, I'm sorry. I must have missed that. I'm sorry.
Well, my comment's not too important anyhow. But
just making a comment.
I will say this. Sea level in West Virginia, a mountain area, one of the highest mountains in West Virginia, is over a mile high. And it has one of the biggest lakes on it. So this doesn't tell us a thing about how far water does come up before your land is.
So there's a motion.
We've got the motion.
Yes. Good. Second. You take that to the bank.
Beaver, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I will. Yes. Motion carried. We're now adjourned. And Mr.